Have you ever had one of those times, those seasons of your life when you were tempted to do something that you just knew that you shouldn't do? Like the pull was so strong, and yet there was something in you that says, I know that that's not the best thing for me. Now, for some of us, we had a moment there where we decided, either I know that it's not right, and I'm going to do it anyway, or I know that it's not right, and so I'm going to resist. That happens to all of us. It's going to continue to happen to all of us. We're just minding our own business, and all of a sudden, that invitation, that opportunity presents itself kind of out of nowhere, and we have a choice to make. Which direction will I go? And for the times of all of our life where we decided, I think I will do what I know isn't the best for me, but it feels so right in the moment, isn't it also true that a few minutes later, or a couple weeks later, or a few years later, depending on the timeline, you had a moment of clarity and you asked yourself this question, what was I thinking, right? You thought to yourself, gosh, why in that moment did I decide to go that direction? Why in that moment did I decide to return that phone call? Why did I accept that invitation? Why did I choose to take advantage of that opportunity? What was I thinking? Why did I say that? Why did I react like that? We've all been there. I've certainly been there because it felt so right in the moment. I mean, in the moment, in fact, it felt urgent. I have to do this. I need to move in this direction. And what we've been looking at is the Apostle Paul says that those moments that happen in all of our lives are not random. They're not just this thing that culture points out to us. It's actually it's a spiritual problem that all of us are going to face, that it is part of a spiritual battle that is being waged. And what we talked about several weeks ago is that we are in a battle, and it's the battle between what does God want and what does our spiritual enemy, the devil, wants. And every day, we're faced against that. And so the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, finally, he's been talking about all this theology. He's been talking about this is who God is. This is what it looks like to live for God. This is what you need to believe about God. And then finally, be strong. All these things that we've talked about, all these directions that I've pointed you to, I want you to, in your day in and day out life, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It's good news for us that I don't have to be strong in my own self-control. I don't have to be strong in myself. I can be strong. My foundation is in the Lord. How do we do that, Paul? He says, well, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So that when you are just living your life, minding your own business, and all of a sudden that temptation presents itself and it feels so right, it feels so urgent, you're able to say, no, I'm not moving in that direction. He said, for your struggle, our struggle, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against your boss or your wife or your kids or your husband or the person down the street, even though they blew off fireworks until 12:15 a.m. and you were all trying to sleep and kids were going crazy. It's not against that person. It feels like it, but it's not against them. But it's against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so we've said, man, we've got to put on the belt of truth. We've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We've got to put on our feet the shoes of the gospel of peace. And this week we're going to talk about two at once, because you can't have one without the other. And verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter 6 says this: in addition to all of this, all the things that we've talked about, I want you to take up the shield of faith. Now all these other things you put on, but this thing you take up, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. All those temptations, all of those little things. Again, you're just minding your own business. You're just living life, and all of a sudden, you feel like you got hit. What was that? Well, Paul says it's a flaming arrow, but you have the shield of faith. And then he says, I want you to take up the helmet of salvation. We're going to talk about the helmet of salvation next week. Don't miss next week. And here's the other one we're talking about today: the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield and the sword. That's what we want to grab a hold of today, because here's what's true for all of us, that the mark of a growing Christian is not that you get attacked less. That's not the mark. We think sometimes that, well, if I can just grow in my Christian life, and if I can just grow in my faith, then I won't be tempted as much. And in a way, that's probably true because maybe you start to avoid things. But really, the mark of a Christian is not how often you're attacked. The mark of a growing Christian is, what do I do when I'm attacked? How well am I able to stand when I'm under attack? Because you are going to be attacked, and it's going to be specifically for you. There's never going to be a time in your life when you are not attacked by your spiritual enemy. And so the Apostle Paul, recognizing this, he says, you just as well get a shield, and you just as well have a sword. And so this morning we're going to talk about this idea, is what does it look like to be able to recognize those attacks for what they are in the moment and be able to say, no, I'm not moving in that direction. What would it look like in your life and in my life, instead of having to wait minutes, hours, days, weeks, or years for that moment of clarity that we've all had? What was I thinking? What would it look like if we could extinguish those flaming arrows in the moment? What would it look like if you didn't have to have regret? What would it look like if you could look back on some crossroad pivotal seasons of your life and say, I made the right decision. It felt so urgent. It felt so right. It felt so important. There was an arrow that was flung in my direction, but because of my shield of faith, because of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I was able to say no. And now when I look back on that season of my life, I can say, instead of what was I thinking, I can say, boy, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I took up that shield of faith. I'm so glad that I had the sword of the Spirit at my ready. Because here's some things before we get into it, before we get practical, here's some things you need to know about arrows. The enemy's arrows, number one, well, they come without warning. There's no, hey, just let you know, tomorrow evening at about 5:30 p.m., you're going to be attacked. I want you to get ready for it. Nope. You're just doing fine. You've been to church. You've read your YouVersion Bible app, daily devotional. You're just living your life. And then out of nowhere, temptation. But why? Because, again, you have a spiritual enemy. He wants to take you out. And they come out of nowhere. And so here's why this is important. That when you're in the middle of temptation is not the time to decide, what am I going to do with temptation? That when the arrow is in the air moving in your direction is not the time to decide, what does that shield of faith look like? And what does the sword of the Spirit look like? When you are in the thick of temptation, you need to have a foundation to stand on, already secure, so that when that is flung, I can stand secure. So in other words, young people, the time to decide how are you going to be physically with your boyfriend or your girlfriend is not late at night in the backseat of the car. That's not the time to decide, what am I going to do? You got to decide ahead of time, because the enemy's arrows, man, they come out of nowhere. You've got to have a foundation built ahead of time. The time to decide, how much am I going to drink, or if I'm an addiction, the time to decide that is not when I'm sitting, you know, up at the bar. Time to decide is, this is the type of person I'm going to be. And because of that decision I've made, when it's all good and when I'm fine and when I'm feeling close to God, man, I've got that shield, I've got that word, so that when temptation comes out of nowhere, I'm going to be able to stand. And this enemy's arrows, not only do they come out of nowhere, they're subtle. They sound, you know what the enemy's arrows sound a lot like? They don't sound like this hissy voice that's got like this red tail and these horns and carries around this pitchfork and like the movie devil. It doesn't sound like that. You know what the enemy's voice sounds like a lot of times is your voice. It sounds a lot like you. It sounds, because isn't it true that you can convince yourself, I can convince myself of just about anything. I want something so much. I can find loopholes to make it seem like it's okay. And they're so subtle because they seem, at the moment, they seem reasonable. Here's what you've never been tempted to do. You've never been tempted to go out into the woods with a few friends in robes and kill some cats and offer their blood. That's not something you've been tempted with. The devil's smarter than that. He's not trying to get you to do these things. But he does invite you. Oh, it's just a little compromise. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's just subtle. You remember when Adam and Eve, what did he say to Eve? Did God really say? I mean, it can't be that big of a deal. That's what the enemy's arrows are like. They're just subtle. They sound like, well, nobody's going to know. It's not that big of a deal. It's 2025. everybody seems to be moving in that direction. They're just subtle. And we can get lit up with an arrow because we don't recognize, oh, small compromises over time. I wake up and realize I'm not where I want to be in life. And I've found myself small compromise, small compromise, small compromise, big, fat mess. And then thirdly, these arrows, they're designed to take you out. They are specifically designed. It's not a generic arrow. That there are arrows designed for you. And there's arrows designed for me. They know, that your spiritual enemy knows your weak spots. That here's what's important to know, that your spiritual enemy, the devil, he is not omniscient in that he knows everything. He doesn't know the future, but he does know your past. And he does know the insecurities that you have. And he does know some of the times where you've compromised in the past. And so he designs temptations and arrows specifically for you. The things that you're tempted with are probably not the things that I'm tempted with because we've lived different lives. And there might be things in my life that you're not bothered with, but they are specifically designed to you. And so the Apostle Paul recognizes, and he invites us to recognize, there's going to be arrows that are launched against you. And he doesn't say dodge them. He doesn't say pray that they won't come. He says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. They're coming. And so you don't need to waste your time praying that they won't come. They're coming. And there's no use in you just trying to dodge them and trying to, you know, self-control them. He says, no, they're coming. Take up that shield of faith by which you can extinguish all of these arrows. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what faith does. That faith doesn't just deflect arrows. It extinguishes them. It neutralizes their power. And so the Apostle Paul, again, he's not saying believe harder and try more. He's saying, I want you to take your stand. I want you to have faith in God because this is important, that the strength of the shield isn't in our faith, but in the object of our faith. Let me explain what I mean. The strength of my faith and the strength of your faith is not in how strong is my faith, but how strong is the object of my faith. Let me explain it this way. That if you were to go walking on a lake that's covered with ice, what's more important? You really, really, really believing that the ice will hold you, even though the ice is only about a half inch thick. That's having really strong strength of faith. But the object of your faith, here's what you know, it can't hold you up. Doesn't matter how hard you believe. Doesn't matter how strong of faith you have. If that ice is only a half inch thick, ladies and gentlemen, you're going under. But if that ice is 3 feet thick, man, it doesn't matter if you walk out on there, knees shaking, nervous, I don't know if it's gonna hold me, I'm not sure. You can have really weak faith, but because the object is so strong, it's gonna sustain you. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that in your Christian life, you don't have to have all that strong faith in and of yourself. You just have to make sure that the faith is placed in the right person. Because if I have all the faith in the world and my faith is placed on me, well, the object isn't very strong. And if I have all the faith in the world and my faith is based on you, well, what happens if you fail? What happens if you're not around? Well, the object isn't any good. And so even if my faith isn't as strong as I want it to be, and God can grow that in me, but if the object of my faith is Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he's called me to, I can face up to those arrows, and I can be nervous, and I can be afraid, and I can say, I don't know how it's gonna work, but because my faith is not in my self-control, my faith is not in my good works, my faith is in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less. That's what the old hymn says. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. So when the Apostle Paul talks about this shield of faith, he's talking about actively, day in and day out, moment by moment, trusting in God. Because when we think about faith, oftentimes when we think about faith, we think about that moment that we become a Christian. And that's important. That's what we call saving faith. Saving faith is the beginning of everything. That saving faith is that faith that the New Testament talks about. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. All those who believe in Christ and confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Son of God will be saved. That is saving faith. You need saving faith. Saving faith is the belief that Jesus is who he says he is, did what he said he did, and I'm placing my hope in him. Saving faith is what you have to have. But that's not what Paul is talking about with the shield of faith. That's different. What the Apostle Paul is talking about with the shield of faith is operational faith. That's different. Operational faith is I'm taking the faith that saved me, the same person that saved me, and I'm placing it moment by moment, day in and day out, decision by decision, flaming arrow by flaming arrow, and I'm going to trust in his promises. I'm going to trust in his character. I'm going to trust in his faithfulness. Operational faith, the shield of faith that we all need to have is that moment by moment trust. Two things: God's character. Who is God? Is he faithful? Will he hold on to his promises? Will he really do what he said that he'd do, that he would never leave us and never forsake us? Is he really who he says that he is? And what has he promised me? That he's promised again, never leave me, never forsake me. He's promised I have all the things that I need to live for him, that he's building within me character, he's building within me the fruit of the Spirit. That saving faith, that happens once. I choose to follow Jesus. I place the weight of my life, the weight of my sin, the weight of my eternity on Jesus. Saving faith. Operational faith is where some of us need to grow in. Operational faith happens every day. I choose. That flaming arrow comes. That temptation comes. That opportunity comes. I'm at the crossroads, and I know what God wants, and I know what this temptation is. Operational faith says, even though this other thing is what I want, I trust in your character, I trust in your promises, and I'm gonna move in your direction. And I'm nervous about it, and I don't know how it's gonna work, and it doesn't feel good, but the object of my faith is your character and your promises. And when that happens, when we can do that, we hold up the shield of faith, and those flaming arrows are extinguished. Operational faith that we all need, here's what it says: I believe what God says more than what I feel. That's the temptation that we all have to deal with. Which direction, when that flaming arrow comes my way, I have two choices. There's only two. I'm either gonna go with what I feel, or I'm gonna go with what does God say. And oftentimes in our life, those two are going to be completely different. And operational faith says, I'm being attacked. And instead of giving in, instead of trying to dodge it, instead of trying to compromise, instead of trying to convince myself it's not that big of a deal, I'm being tempted. I really feel this way, but I know what the truth of God's word says, and so I'm moving in his direction instead. I'm gonna take up that shield. It's a choice that I can make. I can remember, what does God's word say about me? What does God's word say about this situation? That flaming arrow comes that says, man, you're never gonna be free. You're always gonna be like this. You're never gonna be able to make a difference. You're always gonna be an addict. And so at that crossroads, you can say, well, I feel like that's true. I feel like that really is right about me. And my past kind of tells me that that's the right thing about me. And so maybe I'll just move in that direction anyway. Operational faith, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit says, no, no, no. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And because of what God has done inside of my life, I'm not gonna move in the direction that I feel. I'm gonna move in the direction of this is God's word. Well, God has abandoned you, and God doesn't care. And if God really loved you, he wouldn't. And if God really loved you, he would. And I can say, well, maybe that's right. It does feel in this moment that God is distant. It does feel like God is absent. I can move in that direction. Or I can say, no, no, no. God said that I can cast all of my cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for me. God said that he's never left me, that he's never going to abandon me, that he is faithful when I am faithless. And so I'm gonna pick up my shield of faith, and I'm gonna trust. This is who God is. This is what his character is, and this is what he's promised for me. Here's the question that all of us have to decide moment by moment, day in and day out. You can't decide this once. You've got to decide this at every moment that flaming arrow comes against you. You've got to answer this question: what am I going to put between me and the lie? If the flaming arrow is a lie from the devil, what am I going to put between me and the lie? Am I going to rely on just my self-control? Sometimes that'll work great, but sometimes your self-control isn't very strong because you're tired, and You're hungry, you're insecure, you're lonely, whatever it is. Or are you just going to put nothing in you and just say, well, I'm just gonna go with what I feel. And whatever feels right, that's the direction I'll go. And when this feels different, then I'll go that direction. What are you gonna put? The Apostle Paul says, would you consider a shield? What would it look like if you put up a shield of faith when that light comes? What would it look like if you took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Let me show you a story that most of you have probably heard, seen, understood. I've preached on it before, but this is a perfect picture of what it looks like when someone puts this into action. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has just been baptized. He's just, John the Baptist is baptized. Remember the story where the Spirit descended him on him like a dove, and the voice from heaven said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Right after that, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, we see Jesus face flaming arrows, and he takes up a shield of faith. He takes up the Word of God. And what do you know? He was able to stand. And what we see in Jesus's life, in Jesus' story is, you know what? God can be trusted. And God is faithful. And I don't have to try to manipulate, and I don't have to try to work this out on my own. I can take up a shield of faith. I trust in God's promises. I trust in God's character. I'm gonna take up the Word of God, and I'm gonna win. I'm gonna stand, not because I'm so great, but because I've been given armor that is stronger than what the enemy comes my way. Matthew chapter 4, you're gonna see three temptations and you're gonna face these temptations. You might be in the middle of one of these temptations right now. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. First temptation. That temptation was, I don't know if God can be trusted to take care of you. I don't know. Can you really trust God to meet your needs? It's a legitimate need. And you have some legitimate needs. And there's a temptation, and there's this little voice in your ear that says, can God be trusted? Is God able to take care of me in this? So Jesus gets up, he's at that crossroads. He's hungry. He's tired. And all that he has to do is, man, there are a lot of rocks, and I do love bread. And so maybe it's not that big of a deal. I mean, everybody needs to eat. Can you trust God that he really will take care of you? Or am I gonna put in front of that arrow, I think I've gotta take control of this. I don't think I can trust God to take care of me. I've gotta trust in me. Jesus takes up a sword. He takes up a shield. It is written, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him, because the devil's so sneaky. Man, he's so sneaky. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And then the devil quotes the Bible word by word. It's unbelievable. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Again, that is a word by word verse out of the Bible. And sometimes we can, here's our temptation. Just manipulate God. Get God to do what you want him to do. And here's a verse, and if I look at it just this way, and if I squint, then I think that I can get God to do my bidding. God is under my control. I'm not following God. I'm gonna have God follow me. And I've got this idea, and I heard a verse, and I saw a thing, and so God, get on board, because I'm moving this direction. And matter of fact, I've got a verse that'll back me up. Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. Jesus answered him, it's also written. So don't just take one little verse that you find and build a whole theology on it. It's also written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, all this I'm gonna give to you. All you've gotta do, it's not that big of a deal. Hey, Jesus, nobody's around. Nobody's looking. It's just you and me right here. If you'll just do this one thing, here's what you'll have. I'll give it all to you. All you've got to do is bow down and worship me. Do you know what that temptation is? That temptation is the same temptation that we find. That I just take a shortcut. Because how do the nations bow down to Jesus? How does Jesus have control? He gets that through the cross. He gets that through going through the most painful thing that any of us could imagine. And the temptation is, hey, you can avoid all that. You don't have to go through that pain. You don't have to, don't worry about all that gore and the blood and the, all, you don't even need to worry about that. All you've got to do is just, this is a little thing. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to compromise. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, the end justifies the means. I mean, everybody is. It's not that big of a deal. What did Jesus say? Well, he took up the shield of faith. He took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him. That's what can happen in your life. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. This week, you're going to be tempted. And here's what I want you to do. It's already been decided. I don't have to wonder about this. It is already written. God has already spoken about this. The truth has already been established. And I'm applying the truth that has already been established to this lie. My shield that I'm putting up is not in my power. It's not in my ability. It's not in my self-control. My shield is, this is the truth of God. This is the word of God. And it's powered by that eternal, unchanging truth of God. And here's why it's so important really quickly. And then we're going to be done. We're going to receive communion together and thank Jesus for his body and his blood that was given for us. But here's why this is important. Here's why you need to know this, that every temptation, and you know this, you don't really need me to remind you of this, but just in case you don't know, every temptation is more than just about this moment right here and right now. We think, when we're at that crossroads, we think of temptation as the immediate choice. Should I go? Should I click? Should I buy? Should I say? It's just this decision right here. But here's what life will tell you, and here's what some of your experience tells you to be true. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than this moment right here. It's not just about right now. It's about what comes after that. There are some things at stake when it comes to temptation. Here's three of them. These aren't all inclusive, but I know I've talked about this before, but here's three of them, then we're gonna be done. Here's what's at stake. Your future's at stake. The risk for every temptation is, this is just this thing right here, and it's not that big of a deal. Nobody's gonna find out. Everybody else is already doing this. But it's about more than that. And here's what's true about you. You see this in other people. Have you ever seen a friend that starts to make some choices and they're just deciding things in the moment, but you, with a little bit of perspective and a little bit of a distance, you say, oh, no, I see how this movie's ending. I already know. And you try to talk to them and you say, and they say, no, it's just this. It's just this thing right here. This is not, and you already know. You say, no. For some reason, you're blinded to it, but I can see that when you do this and this and this, it feels momentary, but it impacts your future. And you've seen the wreckage of people's lives, that momentary decisions have wrecked their future, that everything is connected. The decisions that I make today are connected. And so God, in his mercy and in his graciousness, has given us truth that says, hey, stand on this, and in the moment, it might not feel good. In the moment, you have to resist. In the moment, you have to say no. And in the moment, you might actually feel worse. But I've got something better in mind for your future. When you are tempted this week, you need to remember, here's what's at stake. Well, my future's at stake. It's not just about this moment right here. What would it look like this week if you were to pause and if you were to say, oh, this temptation is not just about, am I going to click? And this temptation is not just about, am I going to go? This has impact further than I can see. And so I'm going to trust that God is faithful. I'm going to trust that God is good. And I'm going to resist. Here's what else is at stake. Do you know that the people that you love are at stake? The people that are closest to you, the people that you provide for, the people that look up to you. Some of you, isn't it true, that your childhood was impacted because somebody that you loved chose to give into temptation? and you didn't have anything to do with it, but you caught the shrapnel of their choices, what was at stake? For them, it was just, well, I think it's just fine. I think it's not a big deal. It's just this moment. And here you are, and you caught the shrapnel of somebody else's choices. And it wasn't your fault, but if you were to say, man, that really impacted me. And they say, no. How did it impact you? I mean, this was my choice. It's just what I do. No, there's more at stake. When I think about, when I'm tempted, when I have those flaming arrows, here's one thing that I think about. I think about you. Because if I'm gonna run off on my wife or steal some money, it doesn't just impact me. It impacts people that for better or for worse, kind of think of me as a spiritual leader. And your faith could be impacted by my sinful choices. It's not just about me, and it's not just about you. That when you stand at the crossroads of that temptation, you've got to know what's at stake is not just this moment. Well, it's the stake of my future, the stake of the people around me that I love, and then, maybe the most important, your confidence in God is at stake. Because every time you give into temptation, every time I give into temptation, here's what I do. I chip away in my relationship with God. And what I'm saying is, I want what I want more than I want what you want. And what I'm feeling in this moment is more important than my relationship with you. That's really what we're saying. When we give in to temptation, I know you would never say it out loud. Neither would I. But every time that flaming arrow comes, and I lower my sword, and I lower my shield, and I say yes to that temptation, here's what I've said, that what I feel in this moment is more important than my relationship with God, and so off I go. When we think about it, the temptation is about my future, it's about the people that I love, it's about my relationship with God. Here's what I'm left with, that every temptation is an opportunity this week. God, help me to trust you. God, my faith feels weak, but that's okay. Because your faith, the strength of your faith isn't that important. It's the object of it. And you can stand on Jesus Christ, and he is strong enough for whatever temptation might come your way. And I know it feels so real, and I know it feels so urgent, and I know it feels so important, and yet the voice of God, sometimes it feels so distant and so quiet, but it's there. It's there. And if you will this week decide, I know that there are some arrows coming my way, and so I'm going to take up the shield of faith. I'm going to trust who God is. I'm going to trust in his promises and his character, and I'm going to take up the sword of the Spirit. Some of you need to learn what this book says. Learn what this book says. Learn what this book says about your future. Learn what this book says about your future husband or your future wife, or learn what this book says about your money and your choices. Learn what it says, because in the moment, you can't do that. You've got to learn it ahead of time. And here's what will happen. I promise you, and I know that it's hard to believe, but I'm just telling you, my name is Kyle, and I'm your friend, that when you trust him, you'll see him come through. You just will. And it might feel, oh, I really don't want to. But if you'll just trust him, you'll see that, oh, he really was faithful. Oh, he really was an ever-present help in times of trouble. Oh, he didn't abandon me. And here's what will happen. And this is what I want for you. Your faith will grow. And next time you're tempted, it'll be just a little bit easier to resist, because you have something to stand on. You say, oh, he was faithful back there. And he'll be faithful again. I don't want for you to do anymore what you've all done, to look back and have clarity later on in the future. Clarity will come, but you can choose right now, today, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And what'll happen is temptation will still continue to come, the arrows will continue to fly, but temptation will start to lose its power on you. And that's what I want for you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we for some of us, if we're honest, we've been saying yes to temptation. Those arrows have come, and we've just, whatever we've felt, whatever feels so right, whatever everybody else is doing. We've just followed along, and we've let some arrows hurt us. For some of us, we've woken up to some moments of clarity, and we've asked ourselves, what was I thinking? Why would I have done that? Why would I have moved in that direction? But Lord, I'm so grateful that your grace is enough, and your mercy is enough, and that you are so generous with your love and your forgiveness and your mercy, and you welcome us back who have wandered. And so, Lord, for those of us this week that are moving into a week that the arrows are going to come, would you help us to stand on you? Help us to know that the object of our faith is able to hold up the weight of the temptation that we're facing. And so help us to take up that shield of faith. Help us to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Help us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be able to resist the devil. And as we do that, that we would see your faithfulness, that we would see your closeness in our life. We need that. And so help us, each one, with what that looks like for us, day in and day out. In your name that we pray. Amen.